All right, Alexander, let's talk about what is happening in the UK. What's going on with Starmer and Burnham? We had a coalition of the willing meeting in Paris, Bastille Day, and Starmer co-chaired along with Macron. Starmer is also making statements saying that Ukraine will be left in good hands with Andy Burnham. Andy Burnham is the guy I think everyone has accepted that he's the guy that's going to take over for Starmer, right? I mean, that's a given.
Right? It is a given. And can I just say, I mean, Starmer attending the Coalition of the Willing, as they still persist in calling it, the Russians are coming up with ruder words and other people are coming up with even ruder words. But anyway, Starmer attending these events pretty much as his last act as Prime Minister is completely suitable and completely appropriate. I mean, his entire time as Prime Minister has been massively focused on the single issue of Ukraine. He has obviously brought the Zelensky curse on himself. A prominent American senator has just passed away. You could say in some ways that the same is true of him. But anyway, put all that aside, it's completely appropriate that this is almost the last thing that Keir Starmer is going to do as Prime Minister. Now, we have a timeline and everything has now been settled. And this is the timeline. So over the last couple of days, the Parliamentary Labour Party has been voting for nominations for the party leadership election. Pretty much every single Labour MP nominated Andy Burnham. There are no MPs or not enough MPs left to nominate an alternative challenger. That means that Andy Burnham is now going to be elected leader of the Labour Party unopposed. The expectation now is that that will happen on Friday. So on Friday, Andy Burnham formally becomes leader of the Labour Party. On Monday, Starmer resigns as Prime Minister. And on the same day, shortly after Starmer resigns, Burnham is appointed Prime Minister. So on Monday, we will have Prime Minister Andy Burnham. But what Starmer says that Ukraine is in safe hands is absolutely true, because if you are looking for differences on Ukraine between Starmer and Burnham, there are none.
Well, they don't make decisions on Ukraine,
no.
Do they?
No.
They get told what to do.
They get told what to do, except, of course, that in Starmer's case, one gets the sense that he rather wanted to do what he has been doing. I mean, he has been very fervid in his support for Ukraine. I mean, there have been all kinds of reasons and theories as to why he's been so committed to the Ukraine project. But I have to say this. I mean, I've been following him and listening to him carefully. The only times, the only moments when he seems to be really excited about being Prime Minister and about what he's been doing as Prime Minister has been when he's been dealing with Project Ukraine. I mean, it's the subject, it's the issue that's closest to his heart. I doubt that is quite as true of Andy Burnham. I don't get the sense that Andy Burnham is as emotionally invested in Project Ukraine as Keir Starmer was. But really, what difference does it make whether he's emotionally invested in it or not? As you rightly said, he will follow orders. He will do exactly what Keir Starmer has been doing. We're not going to see any change there at all.
Well, Starmer likes Project Ukraine because there's money in it.
No.
They all get to hang out with one another, and they like to hang out with one another to go on train trips and to drink their drinks and eat their shrimp cocktails at the various events. They love that stuff. They love hanging out with the actor known as Zelensky as well. They like that as well. And most importantly, for Starmer and for the elite, including Andy Burnham, it reverses Brexit. It's another step closer to reversing Brexit. And we even had an announcement from Ursula that the 90 billion loan and all the weapons purchases is now open to the UK.
Absolutely.
So that also brings the UK further into the EU.
Absolutely. But before we deal with all of that, you're absolutely right about Keir Starmer and the fact that it is something that he enjoys doing because it brings him in all the nice company. But the other reason he likes it is, of course, because it sets him up for his next job. And if you remember, in a program we did about 3 weeks ago, we talked about how perhaps one job that he might be eyeing is Secretary General of NATO. And sure enough, short time afterwards, it started to appear all over the British media that Keir Starmer, actually the job that he is indeed eyeing, is Secretary General of NATO. He wants to be there and appointed to that post when Mark Rutte steps down. So there it is. I mean, you know, it works very, very well for him. It's exactly what he wants. And if we're talking about the EU, Starmer, of course, was a strong opponent of Brexit. He was the nominal leader of the second referendum campaign, if you remember all of that, during the Brexit War, the plan to hold the referendum that voted for Brexit all over again, this time with a guaranteed different outcome. Anyway, Starmer always was a fervid European, pro-European, pro-EU politician. Ever since he's been prime minister, step by step, he has been taking Britain closer and closer into the EU. And Andy Burnham is exactly the same. Also, fervidly pro-European. He stood a few weeks ago in a constituency in Manchester where which overwhelmingly voted for Brexit. He toned it down. He said this isn't on his agenda at the moment. Of course, he's now in Parliament. He's now elected. He's going to become Prime Minister. So, of course, it's full steam ahead. So into the weapons purchases ideas, into the participation in the loan for Ukraine, into all of these things. It's exactly what we have said. And with every single week and month that passes, we see Brexit itself gradually fade away and Britain more and more moving back into the EU, which is, of course, where Burnham, Starmer and the entire political class in Britain want to see it.
Yeah, wealth transfer. It's all a wealth transfer, and they're all in on it. Everybody is in on it.
Well, of course, because how
there's
else
no
do
getting
you
out of the EU. There's no getting out of the EU.
Well, how else?
Even if the UK votes out, how many votes did they do anyway? Brexit, was it two?
Well, exactly. Well, there was the referendum, and then there was the election in 2019, right. Which the Conservatives won overwhelmingly on the slogan of "Get Brexit Done," if you remember. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that was what it was. But you know, how do you become Secretary General of NATO, which is what Starmer has now set his heart on, unless you can get Britain back into the EU? I mean, this is the important thing that you must understand. I mean, all of these, you know, up and coming politicians, I mean, they need to have confidence that, you know, after they've done all their hard work in government, they will be rewarded by being given other very important jobs. So in order to get those important jobs and to be there when all the money gets swishing around, obviously you need to bring Britain back into the EU. And that's what they're going to be focused on from this moment.
Yeah. The EU is the perfect model for all of the globalist elite. The perfect model.
Well, exactly.
Your 0.45 technocrats, bureaucrats, whatever, into these very, very high positions. Mm. And you rule over 450 million people with zero accountability, zero
Precisely.
Election, zero accountability, zero responsibility for your actions.
Yes.
And then that's it. And you impose your chat controls and you impose your social media controls and your weapons funding. And you create all these kinds of of peace funds is what they call it, to get more weapons to the military industrial complex, and smart funds to get more weapons to Ukraine. And then they put all these names in these funds. I mean, it's you know, if you're Starmer, if you're any politician anywhere in the world, you look at the EU system and you're probably saying, wow, how can I get into that? How can I be a part of that?
Well, in Europe, of course, that is exactly what you see. And by the way, now we perhaps won't discuss Hungary in too much detail, but things are playing out in Hungary exactly as we've said. They've just changed the constitution there to get rid of the president. They're doing all kinds of other things. But step by step, as we discussed, the entire Orbán political structures in Hungary are being dismantled. Let's say step by rapid step. And you can see again what the attraction is, because for all of the leaders there, for all of the political figures there, this is, as you correctly said, the reward. You become a member of the club. And if you are a member of the club, one, there is no accountability, and two, you get very well looked after. Anyway, let's return to Britain, because obviously we have the move. These important moves. We're going to have Prime Minister Burnham next week. A little while ago, we did a program in which we discussed the possibility of an early general election in Britain, with Farage and Reform looking unstable because of the investigation of Farage. For the moment, that talk has faded, and it seems as if there's now been some drilling done into the election figures, and there's now apparently nervousness that if they do call an election early, the results will not be good for the political class. So for the moment, at least, they've put this on, you know, on the back burner. It might revive if there is a decision in the Farage investigation, which looks like it might stick. But anyway, that's the first thing to say. The second is that, of course, this election of Burnham as leader of the Labour Party, essentially by the parliamentary party, without any consultation with the Labour Party membership, is in some ways truly extraordinary, because the whole point about Starmer remaining prime minister for a month, or indeed all the way up to September, was supposedly in order to allow the Labour Party membership an opportunity to test Burnham in a contested election. But there isn't going to be a contested election. And when you see unanimity within a parliamentary party, what that must mean, at least I think what it means, is that the leadership, the people who manage these things, have been going around to the various MPs, the Labour MPs, and have been telling them, look, the situation is far too fragile politically for there to be any appearance of division at all. We must all close ranks and unite behind Burnham. We can't risk even a vote with a Labour Party membership, because if we do, perhaps, who knows, a dangerous left winger might start to make inroads. And worse still, that person, whoever he or she is, might even start raising questions about Project Ukraine or other dangerous things like that. So they've closed down debate even further. And Burnham is now saying that he's going to have an inclusive cabinet, a broad church cabinet, as he says, which must mean that all of the various factions that make up the Labour parliamentary leadership are fully bought into this, which, of course, is unsurprising. And they're all going to be given jobs in the cabinet, which makes it look as if Burnham's position is not going to be quite as dominant as it looked a short time ago. So just saying, the fact that, as I said, there's been this election has been done in this way, far from making Burnham look stronger and more secure, it's an oligarchic arrangement. And it means that Burnham is going to be more vulnerable to removal in the future than he might have been if he'd won as a result of a proper election. Just so.
Who even wants this guy, Burnham? Who wanted Starmer? Who wanted Burnham? Who wanted Sunak? Any of these guys? I mean, what kind of a system of democracy is this, right? They go on and on about democracy and our democracy and our democracy. Who wanted these guys? Where did this guy Burnham come from? I mean, look, 6 months ago, 3 months ago, I had no idea who the hell Burnham was.
Yeah.
Right? He was a nobody.
Oh.
I will wager that everyone outside of the UK that's watching this video had no clue who the freaking hell Andy Burnham was.
Well, you've answered your own question.
Now he's the Prime Minister of the UK.
You've answered your own question. By the way, since you brought up the word democracy.
It's true what I'm saying, though, isn't it? I mean, Andy Burnham was not... I mean, he wasn't this prominent figure as an MP or as a mayor of what was he, a mayor of Manchester?
He was mentioned mayor of Manchester.
He wasn't like a celebrity prominent type of figure. No. I mean, you know, Farage, people knew who Farage was.
Absolutely.
Even before he started reform. I mean, he was out there, right? People knew him.
Yeah.
He was a name. But Burnham, who the hell is Burnham?
Well, right? Burnham was a cabinet minister long ago in Tony Blair's government. He stood twice for leader of the Labour Party. He lost on both occasions. And then he left Parliament because he could see that there was no future for himself in Parliament because people, you know, there didn't think much of him. And he ended up in Manchester where he became mayor. And now this person with this stellar career of success has now been brought, given a parliamentary seat and made within a few weeks Prime Minister of Britain. As you absolutely correctly say, I mean, it is an extremely unusual way of becoming Prime Minister. Once upon a time, not so long ago, by the way, what used to happen was you would be elected to Parliament, usually, you know, in your late 30s, early 40s in Britain. You'd then work in Parliament for about 10 years as a backbench MP. Then you'd start rising and start being given ministerial positions. You'd then end up in the cabinet. And then eventually, over time, you would be elected Prime Minister. So if we look at Margaret Thatcher's career, for example, she was elected an MP in 1959. She then became a minister in Edward Heath's government in the early 1970s. She became elected leader of the Conservative Party at a young age, as was thought at that time, in the mid-70s, and she became Prime Minister in 1979. So 20 years. It took her 20 years to get there, you know, through all that time through Parliament. Of course, Burnham has been in Parliament for, well, how many days? I'm not even sure, because bear in mind that when he was actually elected, Parliament was actually on holiday. So it is unusual to put it mildly. And of course, his last ministerial job was, well, decades ago when Tony Blair was Prime Minister. So I mean, it is unusual. And as you say, he's not a particularly, he wasn't a particularly well-known figure, even in Britain, until about a year ago, when people started to talk him up as a potential rival to Starmer. Until then, outside Manchester, I think most people in Britain had forgotten about him. Even I had done so. So that tells you something.
Yeah, all these people are just so interchangeable.
Yes.
You know, Sunak was there for a year or two. He did his thing. He had his tasks. He checked them all off. Mm. And he left. Now no one cares. No one says anything, right? No. Liz Truss was there for a month. Mm. She tried to do some stuff.
Yes. Yes.
She left. No one cares. Starmer's going to be the same. 2 years in office. He did whatever tasks he had to do. And he's going to move on to NATO or wherever.
Or the EU, if he can get us in, which is probably going to be his main priority now, by the way. I'm hearing this, that even people within the deep state, if you like, here, call it that, know that Project Ukraine is fading. So now the major priority is going to switch from Project Ukraine exactly to the EU. Bear in mind that for the political class, these are two aspects of the same thing. I mean, one of the reasons they were so committed to Project Ukraine is because it was a pathway back into the EU. But now it's going to be mostly about the EU from this time on. Now,
look just before you go, I'll just say this.
Yeah.
There is a job opening for Prime Minister of Ukraine. Svitenko is out.
Absolutely.
Prime Minister of Ukraine, I think it is a perfect fit for Starmer. I think it's the perfect fit for Starmer.
That is a very
good him as Prime Minister of Ukraine. I think he'll love it.
Perfect fit. Yeah. Now, before we do leave, I must, however, bring up another topic, because a politician from an earlier era, Ann Whittingham, was murdered in very confusing circumstances a few days ago. This happened whilst I was away. And when I read the news that she had died, I mean, it came as a shock. Now, Ann Whittingham isn't somebody who I think, again, is widely known outside Britain. But in Britain, she is extremely well known. She was an important political figure in Thatcher's time. And she was a cabinet minister at one time. And she was an important political figure in the 1990s and thereafter. She was a prominent Christian politician. Remember, this is unusual in Britain. She was somebody with very, very firmly held political views, completely different from the politics that we have today. And the very interesting thing, and very it tells you a great deal about the Britain that used to exist, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, is that even though she had, as a person on the political right with strong Christian views, ideas which many people on the left disagreed with, many people on the left greatly liked her and admired her, as I very well remember. Remember, at one time, I was, you know, involved in those left-wing circles in Britain myself. And I remember many of my left-wing friends greatly admired Ann Whittingham because she was seen as a strong person and as a person of principle. Now she's been murdered. And again, we've had a very strange police investigation, which is still underway. Initially, they said that there was no political motive to her murder. Now we are told that there probably was. Counter-terrorism police have been brought into this investigation. I don't want to anticipate or say more about this investigation now, but just to say that her death, even as Prime Minister Burnham has become Prime Minister, has brought home to people in Britain very, very starkly the change that has happened in Britain over the last 20, 30 years. The way in which we have moved from real politics, the type of politics that Ann Whittingham was involved in, to this synthetic politics that has just produced Prime Minister Burnham, who is to be.
Yeah. All right. We'll end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X, Rumble, Telegram. We are also on Substack. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. The links are in the description box down below. Take care.